Pay It Forward. Anybody here see that movie? Okay, good. Then most of you can relate to what I would share with you about it. Very outstanding movie in terms of it starts with a social studies teacher who challenges his seventh grade class to take those things in the world that don't seem right and turn them upside down. And he leaves them with the assignment of how to do that. And there's a young boy in his class, I guess his name was Trevor. And anyway, Trevor comes up with a plan that he calls paying it forward instead of paying back. And the idea, of course, is to extend kindness, unmerited kindness to others. And so he comes up with a plan to do that to three people who will do that to three people. And his ambitious plan is to reach the world with kindness in paying it forward. I think that paying it forward is kindness exemplified, and kindness is what we'd like to take a few moments to consider this morning from the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, as we find in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, as we've looked at each of the qualities, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Kindness is the fifth of nine qualities, again, that we call the fruit of the Spirit. So if we are converted believers, if we have been born again of water and the Spirit, God is actively manifesting these qualities within, and in particular, kindness, as we focus on that quality this morning. Kindness goes hand in hand with love. Reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter of the Bible, verse 4 says that love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Significant that the two qualities we looked at today, the quality that we looked at last week, patient and kind go together in the love chapter of the Bible. Interesting that as we look last week at patience, my take on patience is that patience is passive love. Patience basically puts up with others and puts up with circumstances, so it's really kind of a passive form of love, whereas kindness, I believe, is a very active form of love. It takes initiative. It goes forward to do things, and so it begins to lead the way in showing active love towards others. Probably the very best example of kindness you'll find anywhere in Scripture is the famous story of the Good Samaritan. If you've ever sat in a Sunday school class, you're probably familiar with that. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37 record the story of the Good Samaritan. Someone who was willing to go out of his way to be inconvenienced, to be kind to someone that had a very real need at the time. And so that, I think, is the greatest example we find anywhere in Scripture of kindness. Again, kindness is the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness is the very character of God, and so God desires to form His character within us. And so God would shape us and mold us and make us to be kind people. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Again, I have just a number of verses to share with you. If you can turn quickly enough to get to them, that's great. If you've got an electronic Bible, you'll have no problem. If you're using the old-style Bible, turning pages might be a little more challenging. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Do not think lightly of the riches of His, God's kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance." That verse has a familiar ring to it because we sing a song, don't we? Quite often entitled "Kindness." His kindness designed to lead us to repentance. And it's based on that verse. And so that's what God's kindness is all about. It is designed to lead us to repentance. So the very nature of God is that of kindness. God is much more than Mr. Nice Guy, who is kind and gentle and all of that. God's kindness, like patience, has a purpose. God is kind toward us so that we would repent. And so why does He want kindness to spring up in our lives so as to help others to come to change and repentance as well? So as God forms His character within, He wants us to be kind people, to be able to bridge a gap to those who need to change their hearts and to change their lives. And so that adds a great deal of emphasis to why kindness needs to be a part of our character as well. It's really a part of our witness. It's part of our testimony. God making His appeal to a lost world through us by that quality of kindness. Romans 11, verse 22, "Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell, severity, but to you God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will be cut off. Two natures of God, his kindness and his severity. To those who are disobedient, to those who are unresponsive, God is severe. And I don't know of anything more severe than judgment, where God pitches those who are unresponsive into the lake of fire to be consumed and done away with forever. That's pretty severe. Not that God wants to do it, but because of the gracious opportunity and those who stubbornly resist, God is forced by his very nature to do that. So behold the severity of God, but then also the kindness of God if you continue, it says, in his kindness. There's some pretty powerful incentive to have that fruit of the Spirit spring up within. I want to be in the kindness of God. I'd rather deal with his kindness than his severity. I'd rather be on his good side than on his bad side. And so if I continue in his kindness, if this fruit springs up in my life, I'm in the favor of God, and that's a good place to be. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I love that last part. Why has God elevated us? Why has God lifted us up, raised us up? Why has God shown his mercy to us? Because he wants to show us the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness in Christ Jesus in the ages to come. One more reason to look forward to the kingdom of God. Because in that age, God is going to shower his kindness upon us, those who have been willing to have the fruit of the Spirit of kindness manifested in our lives. Isaiah 54. Verse 10, the mountains may move and the hills may shake, but my kindness will never depart from you. My promise of peace will never change, says the Lord who has compassion on you. My kindness will never depart from you, my children. Again, because God is characterized by kindness, he wants that from each one of us. And there are so many verses that talk about the need to cultivate kindness in our lives. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Colossians 3, verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Proverbs 3, verse 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on tablets on your heart. Do not let kindness and truth depart from you. A great challenge that we be people of kindness, grounded firmly upon the truth of God's word. And also in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. What does God desire from us? He wants kindness. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9. I told you I had quite a few of these verses that you could check out later on, but it says this. Thus has the Lord of hosts said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother. Perhaps best known, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Depending upon the translation that you use, it says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Summing up what God desires from each one of us, he wants us to actively practice and do justice. He wants us to embrace and love kindness and to walk humbly before them. There is some evidence that early Christians were called the kind ones. What an interesting descriptive phrase. That may have had something to do with a bit of confusion concerning the word kindness and the word Christ in the original language. I wanted to list those in your outline this morning so you can see how close these two words are. From the Greek language, the word that we get Christ from, Christos, it is spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, and there is the word for kindness from the Greek language, which is Krestos, C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S, one letter difference. One letter difference between Christ and kindness. And so indeed, those who were followers of Christ, you can see why it was that they were called the kind ones. to follow after Christ indeed is to be the kind ones. And when you think about the kindness of Christ, how very kind He has been, how much He has put Himself forward for us, and I'm powerfully reminded of that today as I think about this coming week, as I think about what we've observed in the Lord's Supper this morning, you find truly no greater example of kindness. The story of the Good Samaritan is powerful, but the story of Christ and His kindness is absolutely compelling in changing our hearts and our lives. How do you resist kindness like that? How do you not want to emulate that kind of kindness? How do you not want it to be manifested in your life? I want that kind of kindness. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like the Christos, but I want to have Christos as well. I want to be that much like Christ. Kindness. So very, very important. Someone has said that kindness is more than compassion. The very nature of exhibiting kindness to another person makes that person have a sense of worth and usefulness. By exhibiting kindness to another person, we are affirming their worth as a person. We are telling them that they are more important to us, that they are important to us, more important than to be inconvenienced by them or by what we would give them. I'm having a little trouble reading that. By them or that we would give them special attention. Indeed, the gist of that statement is that kindness, as we extend it to others, as we listen to others and show them that kindness, we affirm their worth. And so not only is kindness the very character of God within us, but it is reaching out as He would reach out to others and affirm the worth of those that we would contact and listen to and share with. Kindness, I believe, is manifested in carefully listening to others. We listen carefully to those that we want to extend kindness to. How often do you really get heard in this day and age anyway? Typically, we talk to people, we're busy going somewhere else, but to actually sit down, to give someone undivided attention, that is, I think, a great measure of kindness. It certainly affirms the worth of others. And so, as people having kindness manifested in our lives, we should be in the practice of carefully listening to others. Kindness also cultivates connections. And so it causes us to reach out and have an ever-widening circle of contacts for the purpose of practically helping others, encouraging others, and literally reaching out to the lost. And so I believe that kindness is literally the driving force between evangelism and discipleship. So if we would fulfill the Great Commission, we are certainly to be involved in being kind people. Again, kindness is exemplified in the service and in the sacrifice of our Savior.